Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29 says, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." Fellow Marketplace Christians, stop apologizing and start winning. Welcome to The Success Edge, the show that helps you take your walk as a Marketplace Christian to the next level. Here's your host, Christian entrepreneur Tyler McCart.
What's going on, Kingdom Success? This is Tyler McCart coming at you. Episode 371. All right. I am going to put this in drive and head out. So, hope you guys are doing great. I wanted to record an episode with you guys. And, you know, today is today is October the 16th of the time I'm recording this, 2023. I was getting ready to say 24. It's definitely not 24 yet. So, what has been going on? What do I want to talk about? What has been stirring on my heart as of lately? You know, a lot of things have actually been stirring on my heart, but I'm actually right now headed to a Bible study or kind of a small group. You've probably heard me talk about this book that we are going through with this small group. It is called Intentional Father, and it is all about taking your son, if you have a son, through a journey whenever he starts to be about, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old, the start of that journey, all the way until he leaves your house, and what that journey would look like of raising up a man. And I know for me personally, this book right here, I've read multiple books that have really impacted me. One of those, like Raising Modern Day Knights. There's another one by Mark Battison, Play the Man. There's also one, I think, by John Eldridge that's out there. I remember reading that one a little while back. All these books are fantastic books to read, but this one right here really does. I don't know why this one probably hits a little bit differently. One reason, I think, is because I'm going through it with a group of other men. Now, unfortunately, these group of men that I'm going through with them, this is just an unfortunate part. You know, all their boys that they have are young boys. There might be in the range of 8. You know, some of them might be 6. So my son, Tyler, is the, you know, I've got the oldest of the bunch. I mean, there's one of the gentlemen, but he hasn't been with us. He hasn't attended our meetings here recently. But anyway, you know, it is a process, and I've really enjoyed this book, Intentional Father, by John Tyson. And I feel like it's probably one of the most thorough, one of the best books. I mean, obviously, I think any book that you take your son through is going to be a good book to take him through. So that's one thing that's kind of just going on in my life that I wanted to recommend to you. Another Bible study that I'm actually doing right now, which has been a thorough book that I've really enjoyed, is Not a Fan. Don't ask me what the name of the author is, but I'm in another men's Bible study that meets on Friday mornings, and this one here, it's with my the school that my kids attend, and the head of school, Dr. James Taylor, is actually the one that leads the Bible study, and he does a fantastic job. He's a gifted teacher, and you know, just does a great job of walking us through different things. We went through one book. I can't remember what that title. You probably have to go back in earlier podcasts. We went through the book of Acts, and now we're kind of getting ready to, were in this book, not a fan. And that's a little bit of, honestly, a little bit of kind of one thing I wanted to talk about with this episode here as I'm driving. So I've got about 15, 20 more minutes to drive. But that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. And it actually stems from chapter 6. So let me give you the premise of this book. And because I feel like that it'd be a great book to go through with a bunch of guys at any time if you're looking to put together a men's Bible study or a small group with a bunch of dudes and go through it. I think this is just a great book, not a fan. So this chapter, chapter 6, is titled Self-Empowered or Spirit-Filled. Now, here's the premise of the book, okay? Here's the premise of the book. In the book, the author kind of does a wake-up call to people that are believers and people that think they're believers, right? That operate in the stands of life. They're fans. They're not on the field. They like to clap for Jesus. They like to yell for Jesus. They like to say they're on Team Jesus. But when it comes to making Jesus the Lord of their life, they're nowhere to be found. And I know for myself, there probably was a period of time whenever I was younger that was definitely the case where Jesus, I was more of a fan of Jesus. And it wasn't until I had really gotten saved at age 9 and really committed myself to following Jesus, following God's word, and making it the be all end all. And that was a progression of things. That was a progression of a commitment level in me that started at age 9, and I was going to be all in. And it was a progression level. It's gone deeper and deeper. I don't feel like that you're a follower of Jesus, you know, and that's all you have to do. I mean, you do have to make that decision one time and then follow through with that decision on a daily basis. So you make the decision one time and then you follow through. It's not a kind of a, you know, in and out type thing for me. And I hope that, you know, for you, my Kingdom Success listeners, you actually kind of say, you know what, I know I'm a follower of Jesus. Now, in the book, he talks about how that, you know, there are people that, you know, and this isn't like the billboard, you know, you might see in a football game or some kind of sporting event, anywhere, really, honestly, anywhere in the world, where they have John 3:16, you know, for it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, and that is that's a great billboard to get people to drawn to Jesus. But at the same time, you know, Jesus also says, hey, you need to take up your cross daily, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Now, I've never really seen that on anybody's, you know, poster at a football game or underneath, you know, the little black stuff that they put underneath the football player's eyes. I've never seen that verse. I think it's in Luke or it's in one of the Gospels where Jesus says that, you know, take up your cross, you know, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Never seen that really actually applied. Now, I will say this, though. You know, probably the biggest decision that I see most believers or most people that I come in contact with or, you know, that I interact with on a daily basis, you know, there's this, you know, I'm going to give majority of my life to the Lord, but there are just certain areas that I'm not going to, you know, give up. I know for me that I've had to come to grips with that is, you know, allowing the Lord to me not try to control or not try to, and it really, for me personally, it's a lot about control, but allow the Lord to be the Lord of my life and me not be the one in the driver's seat with my children. I had to have a come to Jesus meeting where that I had to relinquish my children into my Heavenly Father and cast them actually onto Him. That happened to me a couple years ago, and where that now, I've focused on the scripture verse, and the scripture verse that's kind of become my bedrock scripture verse is found in Isaiah. I'm just going to quote the scripture. I don't have time to sit there and, look it up because I'm driving. It says, "For great is the peace of your children, for they are taught by the Lord." So for me, the Holy Spirit teaching my children, "And great will be the peace of my children." That's something I hang my hat on. I probably quote that verse probably at least, whenever I was first trying to get that down inside of me, I was quoting that over and over and over, and I had to relinquish that area into my Heavenly Father and trust that He was going to bring that to pass. In this chapter that I wanted to, let me say the other thing. It also talks about how that wide is the gate that people will walk down and narrow is the gate that leads to life. And, Jesus even says, you'll even come to me and say, "Lord, didn't we, preach in your name, speak in your name, blah, 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 heal, all the stuff." And the Lord's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." There has got to be a heart connection, not a head connection, a heart connection between you and your Heavenly Father, where that Jesus sits supremely in your heart, that every decision you make is filtered. This is just kind of how I always have to look at it, is filtered through Holy Spirit, every decision you make. And that's where you always start. You don't start with what you think you should know about or the experiences that you've had over the course of time. No. You always start, if the situation comes up, you start with Holy Spirit. A story that Dr. Taylor actually shared was a gentleman that had been a part of his church. Dr. Taylor, at that time, he was the youth leader of a church, and he'd been there for several years. But a gentleman that had been teaching Sunday school for, I think he said decades, because the gentleman was at least about 80-something years old. Then one Sunday morning, that gentleman walked the aisle of the church to actually accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And it was a huge wake-up call to him. It really kind of shook his faith, because here a guy that he really looked up to, that had great moral character, notice it said great moral character, but had never really made Jesus the Lord. Jesus doesn't want fans. He doesn't want them. He says Jesus even calls out that you need to forget about your mom and dad and sister, brother, and follow me. I know for myself, whenever I was right around 17, 18 years old, actually I remember this very distinctly. It wasn't even 17, 18. I was about 20, 22. And Amy wanted to go to, Amy and I were engaged. My wife and I were engaged. And I was living in Myrtle Beach. And there was a job that had been lined up by Amy's father-in-law, Mr. Ellis. And it was actually a very lucrative job opportunity for Amy and I both. I think it was more for Amy than it was for me. But it still was going to impact me. So anyway, and it was back in Atlanta. So I think maybe it was a Yamaha. The gentleman that was the Yamaha dealer or the Yamaha manufacturer's rep was stepping down, and they were looking for some young person to come out there and take over that sales territory. Well, Mr. Ellis, being in the boating industry, had lined all this up, and we could have easily made, I remember him saying this, we could have easily made $60,000 annually at the time, which that time back in 2001, 2002, that was a lot of money. And I went before the Lord about it, and I did not have a peace about that situation. And, you know, it became kind of a little bit of a power struggle between Amy and I about where were we going to live when I graduated from college. And I remember the night having a conversation with Amy. It was late. And I remember finally just having to come to grips with it and saying, "Sweetheart, if you decide to take the job in Atlanta and go to Atlanta, I won't be there." I remember those exact words coming out of my mouth and saying, that's all I'm going to say about it. I love you. I'm going to go to bed. And I remember getting on the floor that night or on my knees praying and crying, actually, because that was a very difficult decision that I had to make. But I did not feel led to go back to Atlanta, even though that was where my hometown was at. That was where I'd grown up. And here I am. Nope, not going to do it. It's not, that's not how I feel led to go and how I feel led to go and be there. And, you know, I think it was a day or two later, Amy calls me up after that and says, "Okay, fine. I'll go where you're going." And I, from that moment on, it was, you know, we're going to go by faith of what I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me to do. And that is just an example of, you know, in my own personal life, guys, of how I was, you know, I was being led of the Holy Spirit, and it was not a popular decision. You know, being a fan, it's easy to make popular decisions. Okay? Being a follower, it's not easy making popular decisions. It's not. You know, and in this chapter right here, it talks about how that you can make, how you can be self-empowered or Spirit-filled, and how that you interact with the Holy Spirit is a great indicator of how you are either a fan or a follower. And, you know, sometimes I feel, you know, in the book, he kind of talks about how that some Christians almost view Holy Spirit like Cousin Eddie in Christmas Vacation, Planes, that whole Chevy Chase, you know, Christmas, you know, movie that's out there as Cousin Eddie, where that, you know, Holy Spirit's kind of looked at like, "Oh, man." But hey, I'm telling you something, guys. Holy Spirit is the place, is the only place where you want to be. He's your guide, he's your comforter, he needs to be someone that you are relying upon on a daily basis and where you are Spirit filled. I know that some denominations, you know, believe strongly that you can be Spirit filled without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that evidence of speaking in tongues. I believe that you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. I just believe that. I think that, you know, you don't want to, I mean, why wouldn't you want everything that Holy Spirit promises and everything that you can have with the Lord? Why wouldn't you want that? And I know that some people, you know, just have a big hang up with that and really struggle with that whole entire concept. But it's just not taught, you know, is case in point. It's just not taught and it's not understood, and therefore people don't understand that. But anyway, I'll move on. But I'm just reading through these notes that we have. You know, one question that is asked is, excuse me, or one diagram that he kind of gives in this outline that Dr. Taylor had, which I thought was just really good. You know, 1D is you have knowledge of of the Lord. You know, 2D is you actually believe in the Lord and you actually made the Lord your Heavenly Father, your Lord and Savior. 3D is where you're actually Holy Spirit surrendered. Okay? Holy Spirit surrendered. And 4D is a mature believer where the Holy Spirit is actually guiding, orchestrating, you know, giving you direction. You hear from Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And my encouragement to you guys is, are you a fan or a follower? Okay? One of the ways you can tell if you're a fan or a follower is how you relate to Holy Spirit, okay? How you relate to Holy Spirit. You know, my advice to you is get in line with what Holy Spirit says. Make the Lord of your life, not just your Savior, okay? So, kingdom success, know that you're blessed, you're highly favored, you're empowered to prosper, you walk in divine health. Spirit of breakthroughs upon you guys, and gang will catch you on the other side.